The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Well, that's good, Brother Palmore. Thank you so much for that. Amen. Boy, one day you'll be able to sing through all eternity. Isn't that good? Isn't that, oh, come on, you're in a Baptist church. Isn't that good?
Amen.
Amen. That is good. Take your Bible and go back to Hebrews chapter 6. Look at verse 12, where the Bible says, "And be not slothful." It says, "But followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Verse 13, the Bible says, "And when God made promise to Abraham because he could swear by," watch what it says, "no greater, he swear by himself." So where are the promises coming from? The promises are coming from God himself. But here's what he says in correlation to those promises. Here's what he says: be patient. Be patient. I find out that in humanity that we deal with others, and as we deal with others, stay with me now, we are not patient. I find out that that carries over with the way that we are to God. Because we're not patient with each other, we live in a very fast-paced society. We live in a society where everything is rush. Everything is go, go, go. People drive fast. People talk fast. People think sometimes too fast. People sometimes will take and they will be impatient with people. I see those that are parents impatient with their children. I see children impatient with their parents. I see those that are business constituents impatient with each other. And notice what it says in verse 14, saying, "Surely, blessing I will bless thee, multiplying I will multiply thee." And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. So God here is speaking to one that needs to understand that the promise will come after there's the endurance of patience. The Bible says over in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7 and verse 8, the Bible says, "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud spirit." So God talks again about being patient. Seems like we live in such an instantaneous type of world. I remember the day when you had to get up if you had a television set in your house. I remember the day you had to get up and you had to go over bodily and turn the station. I remember that. I remember the day when you had rabbit ears. The rabbit ears. I remember my parents putting some type of tinfoil. You remember those days too? Okay. I remember my parents, when I was coming up, would put tinfoil on the antennas, and my parents would make us to hold the antennas. I remember that. Did we do that with you too? We did that with you too. Okay, so Jonathan's older than he looks. But I remember those days. I remember there's no such thing as a remote. I remember that. I remember that when you got to your garage door, there was no such thing as a garage door opener. Wasn't that? Nowadays, you got them in your car. When you pull up in your driveway, you don't even have to press a button. Just pull up in your driveway. It knows that it's your car, and your garage door opens. Incredible. You drive in, garage door shuts. Incredible. We have people that's even in our church that has a key. You can start your car. Matter of fact, you probably already did. It's running, and you don't know it. You can start your car from here, and the car, have five people just got up and walked out, so my car, okay. But you can start your car on the inside just by pressing a key. I know people that on their iPhones, they're able to control the thermostat in their house from at work. They'll turn the thermostats on, and they'll start to cool down their house about an hour before they get there. And then when they get there, the house is cool. It's an incredible day in which we live. I remember when we didn't have a computer, we couldn't afford them, they were too expensive. We lived in Brooklyn, New York. First book I ever wrote, living in Brooklyn, New York, was on a Corolla typewriter. I remember dictating it to my wife, And then she'd take that little correct tape, little white correct tape, and she'd have to backspace over the letters to be able to make them disappear. Nowadays, you've got the computers and everything's done on screen. Totally different. I remember the first time I ever had what I would call a cell phone. We called them a portable phone back then. And I remember I was pastoring in Tennessee, over in East Tennessee. I remember pastoring there, and I remember having this telephone. The battery was bigger than the telephone. I remember plugging that thing in. You plug it in. Once you unplugged it, it lasts for 1 hour only, and it was done. I remember going out on soul winning on Saturdays, calling through my Sunday school class, using, I called it the Batman phone, but I would use that phone and I would call around. Had a real receiver type of a thing that you would hold. I mean, things have changed. Things have changed. I remember the first time I ever saw somebody in the airport, I was flying somewhere to preach. They're walking down the airport port and the hallway, and I remember seeing them talking, and I thought, there's nobody around them. What in the world? It must be one of those insane people I heard about. They're walking down the hallway, and they were talking. Now, I noticed there's a little black thing that was in their ear, and I come to find out that that was a new way to be able to talk on the phone. You didn't have to hold it. You could just talk into it that way. Okay? I'm saying that we've come a long way. But because of stuff that we have instant, we have instant coffee today. We have instant soup today. We have instant credit today. You can buy stuff with your credit card. Don't have to carry cash. I mean, everything is instant. If you're not careful, what that's going to do is that's going to bleed over into your life, and then you become somebody that's impatient with other people. You have to be careful that you do not become somebody that is impatient with people because society has taught you and has retrained your character. I'm going to give you some things today to be patient with. Statement number one, learn to be patient with God. Learn to be patient with God. The book of Psalms, Psalm 37 and verse 7, the Bible says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. You say, well, God, you didn't answer my prayer. You should have answered my prayer. I expected you to answer my prayer. Can I tell you, God will answer your prayer when He's good and ready. But you can't push God into a corner. You can't say, I'll tell you what, God, if you don't answer my prayer and come through today, I'm through with you. No, here's what God says. God says you're supposed to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. He says, fret not thyself because of him that prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Here's what it says, Psalm 37 and verse 8. It says, cease from anger. It says, forsake wrath. It says, fret not thyself, it says, of any wise to do evil. He says to be patient, just to be patient. He says, for the evildoer shall be cut off, but those that wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Talking about being patient. Psalm 37 and verse 11, the Bible says, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves. It says, in the abundance of peace. It says, and it is a good man. Lamentation chapter 3 and verse 26. It says, it is of a good man, this Bible says, that shall both have hope and patiently wait on the salvation of the Lord. And so God is talking about just being patient. You know, we ought to learn to wait on the Lord and be patient. In times of need, He can be our supply. He says, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. In times of loneliness, we need to remember, He says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. In times of uncertainty, we need to remember that all things work together for good. In times of unrest, we need to remember, He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. In times of indecision, we need to understand that He will guide us, the Bible says, into all truth. In times of sadness, we need to understand, He says, the Comforter has come. In times of disparity, we need to understand, He says, surely, He says, I come quickly. In times of doubt, we need to understand, He says, in His hand, it says, shorten, that He cannot save. The Bible says that in his hand is not shortened that he cannot save. And his ear, the Bible says, is not heavy that he cannot hear. In unsurmountable circumstances, we need to understand that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. You see, he is right there. But we have to understand that he is the one that we need to wait for. You know, sometimes I remember when I first started dating my dear wife, I remember I'd get to the house and my wife was getting ready and I would think, man, hurry up. Hurry up. Then all of a sudden she'd walk out, and when I saw her walk out, can I tell you, she was worth waiting on. That's the way we need to be about the Lord. God, I want you to answer this prayer. God, I want you to come through. But when he does come through, he'll be worth waiting on. We have to decide that we need to wait on God. God is the one that can answer. Here's what it says, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. He says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We're supposed to just be, we want everything. I'm telling you, in our society, somebody sits there blowing the horn. I read a newspaper article, and this guy pulled up behind this other guy. He just kept laying on the horn. Finally, the guy that was in front of the guy that was laying on the horn, got out of the car. He walked back. He said, look, I can't get my car started. I'll make you a deal. I'll get in your car, I'll blow the horn, you go get it started. He said, I've tried, but it won't start. Let's just switch places. Okay, now can I tell you, look, it is important that we learn to be patient. Benjamin Franklin said this, he can have patience that will wait on his will. It's a matter of waiting on his will. So be patient with God. Statement number two, be patient with others. Be patient with others. Now that's hard. You see, when you're patient with God or impatient with God, nobody sees that. And you dare not show somebody you're being impatient with God. That's normally in your secret place. That's when you get on your knees, fall on your face, prostrate before the Lord. You're cried out saying, God, why aren't you answering my prayer? God, why aren't you coming through? You know, normally you're not doing that in a public fashion. But when you're impatient with other people, it shows up. It shows up. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says over in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 18, says, a wrathful man stirreth up strife. Says, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife. So when you're slow to anger, things settle down. The Bible says that we're not supposed to answer somebody with a sharpness. It says a soft answer turneth away wrath. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to be somebody that is slow to anger. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4, charity it says, suffereth long. So what do? Love and action is suffering long. It's being patient with somebody. There's a man on a train one day, and he was sitting there, big, brawly type of fella, masculine, big body, and this little baby was over there, and this man was just trying to get the baby to sleep, was a younger man, had an infant baby, trying to get the baby to sleep, the baby was just crying, the baby was whiny. I don't know if you've ever been that way or not, on an airplane. You get on an airplane, maybe you do like I do. I fly to different countries and preach and do different conferences and whatnot, and man, I dread it when I get on an airplane and there's a little baby right there. Two seats in front of me, I just know what's going to happen. That halfway through the journey, that baby's going to cry the other halfway through the journey. This was back in the day where not many people flew at all. This was back in the day when almost everybody took the trains, the long train rides. This big guy was sitting across from this little guy right across the seat. Little guy, just a young daddy, had the baby, trying to get the baby to be quiet. Baby would not be quiet. Finally, this big burly guy looked over at that little skinny guy and said, "Look, can't you control that baby? What is your problem? Don't you understand I'm trying to get my rest?" The man said, "I'm sorry, but his mom is in a casket just a couple of cars back, and I'm trying my best." The big burly guy said, "Oh man, I'm so sorry. Let me help." Took the baby for the rest of the trip. Cradled the baby, loved the baby, got the baby quiet. Hey, what am I saying? Be patient. You don't know what somebody's going through. You have no idea. So I wish they would smile at me. It's not they don't like you. They might be going through something. You have no earthly idea what they're going through. I wish they'd be kind to me. You have no idea what they're going through. I wish they would shake my hand. I wish they would laugh at my joke. I wish that they would be jolly all the time around me. Hey, why don't we learn to be patient with other people simply because we have no idea what they're going through? I'm saying learn to be patient with other people. There was a young man came to Sunday school. It was in Scotland. Came to Sunday school. The Sunday school teacher thought, "Well, you know, he's just like all the other young men. I'm teaching the most poverty-stricken bunch of boys that anybody could ever see." And by the way, we run 7 buses. We're proud of it. We run buses to the Dallas Metro. Then we have an A bus ministry and a B bus ministry. We try and reach out to people, care for people, love people, get people to come to church. What's going to change people is not politics. What's going to change people is that which is the Word of God. Amen. So we try to reach out. We try and give out the gospel everywhere we go. We try and invite people to church everywhere we go. And we're not ashamed of that. We're not ashamed of our Bible. We're not ashamed of our God. We're not ashamed of the gospel. We're not ashamed to reach out and give people an opportunity to be able to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. A lady in Scotland was a Sunday school teacher, and she said, "You know, the most poverty-stricken boys probably in all the area is my Sunday school class." One boy showed up. His name was Bob. Bob showed up, and she said, I'm going to try and make a difference in these boys' lives." And so when they would first show up, the first time they would come, she'd give them a Bible. Very inexpensive Bible, but a Bible. So she'd give them a Bible. Second time they came, she would always, because she owned a suit clothing store and she was able to get stuff very cheap, she'd give them a suit. Hey, that's pretty good. Come to church 2 times, somebody give you a suit. It's pretty good. And so she'd give them a suit. And so she gave the boy a suit. He never came back. Never came back. Got a Bible, got a suit, never came back. She went over to visit him, couldn't get him to come. Went to visit him, couldn't get him to come. Went to visit him, could not get him to come. Months went by, he came again. And she said, "Well, maybe there's hope. I don't know. Hey, I've got some extra suits. I'm going to give him another." He came 3 times to church. Bible, suit, suit. Hey, that's pretty good. Pretty good. All right. Months went by. Couldn't get him to come again. Couldn't get him to come again. Couldn't get him to come again. Extra suits pouring in. And she said, I went by the house. Said, "Look, if you come back just one more time, I'll give you a 3rd suit." He said, "Wow, might as well." I'm talking about, this is months of working with this kid. All right. Got a Bible and 3 suits. Never came back again. She kept after him, kept after him. Finally, years had gone by. She noticed that there was a young man that she thought was familiar sitting in the back of the church. Lo and behold, it was him. Had the same Bible, grew out of those suits, had his own suit, came forward that night, surrendered to be a missionary, came up to her and said, "It was all because of you. Sorry I never came back. We relocated to another church, another town, but I went faithful. God spoke to my heart, wanted to come forward tonight, let this church know it's because of you." Amen. You. that when we moved, I kept going to church. Never forgot your love. Never forgot how much you cared. Never forgot your investment. Never forgot how patient you were. You just kept coming by and kept coming by and kept coming by. And I never forgot you, lady. Thank you for that. Went to China, spent 32 years as a missionary in China, translated the Bible in the Chinese language, and literally hundreds of thousands of people were saved. You know why? Somebody cared. Somebody was patient. Just kept going by. I pastored in Tennessee, and I said, you know, one of the best things you could ever do for my children as a Sunday school teacher is don't forget them. It's the preacher's kids. Everybody forgets the preacher's kids. We visit everybody else in Sunday school. Would you come? Would you come? Would you come? But I said, nobody's ever visited my kids. But you're the preacher, but you're the Sunday school teacher. Come by and visit the kid. You know, Sunday school teachers started catching on to that. They started coming by, visiting my children, made a difference. Not that my kids were bad, rebellious, nothing like that. But everybody needs somebody in their life that's patient with them, shows them love, shows them concern. Man, you know, now I don't want our church ever to become stuck up. Amen. I don't. I want our church always to be a church. We reach out to everybody, love everybody, encourage everybody, shake everybody's hand. Everybody's important. Everybody, look, we've got people in our church, they make it from day to day. That's it. I'm saying that's it. Can't hold down a job, makes it from day to day, living on the street. We've got people in our church that make over $1 million a year. Big difference. Huge difference. Then we got everybody in the middle. Big difference. Can I tell you, the poorest kid to the richest man is welcome in our church. To those that drive the Mercedes, to those that drive the beat up Chevrolets that's 30 years old and you got to get out to crank them in the front. Hey, listen, I'm saying that we need to be patient with people. You say, but you don't understand. I wish I was like them. I wish I was like them. No, you ought to thank God that God made you just the way you are. Amen. Used to preach in the Philippines when I first started going. I still preach in the Philippines. But when I first started going, man, the little Filipino girls would come up and they would say, man, we wish we were like the Americans. I said, why? Little Filipino girls would come up and they would say, we like their fair skin. White skin, we like it. They would go to the drug stores. Over here, girls go and they buy the tanning cream. Over there, they buy the whitening cream. Nobody happy. Why don't you thank God that God made you who you are? Amen. Say, preacher, you don't understand. My ears are too big. Well, tell me, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do? Well, preacher, my nose is too big. What are you going to do? Preacher, I'm too tall. Okay, fix it. What are you going to do? Preacher, I'm too short. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Preacher, you don't understand. I'm just too skinny. I can help you. So you know, I'm too big. I'm just too healthy. He can help you. I'm saying this: be patient with others. Well, as a young preacher, I used to preach. I looked out. If everybody wasn't smiling, everybody was saying amen and hallelujah and glory to God, I wonder what in the world's wrong with them. Must not be right with God. Then I found out people have real burdens. Then I find out that you can't come to church and smile all the time because life is real. Can I say, look, I'm saying learn to be patient with other people. Statement number one, be patient with God. Statement number two, patient with other people. You ready? Here we go. Done. Be patient with yourself. Be patient with yourself. You ever do this? Standing in front of the mirror, combing your hair, and you get flustered. Not at your mama, not at your papa. Not at your brother, not at your sister. You get flustered at you over a little bitty hair. Come on. You ever do this? Come on. You get flustered trying to put something together, and you get tense, and you get flustered. Not patient with you. You ever say something you shouldn't have said? Done something you shouldn't have done, went somewhere you shouldn't have went, and then found out later that you're beating yourself up over it. Now, I'm not saying you got to see everything as, oh, everything is wonderful. Why? I'm not saying that. What I am saying is reality shows up, and it shows us that sometimes your biggest enemy is yourself. Somebody asked D.L. Moody one time, said, who's the big, he had a lot of enemies, a lot of enemies. Came to D.L. Moody one time, said, who's your biggest enemy? He said, I know him well. He said, every day I see him, every day. Man said, you mean your biggest enemy follows you around? He said, everywhere I go, everywhere, I can't get away from the guy. Really, he's that bad? Oh, he is very bad. I know him well. He said, who's your biggest enemy? He said, the guy I stare at in the mirror every morning is my biggest enemy. Now, can I tell you, be patient with yourself. I think sometimes God forgives you more than you forgive yourself. I think sometimes God believes in you more than you believe in yourself. I think sometimes God wants to help you more than you ask God to help you. I'm saying this, I'm saying be patient with yourself. Luke chapter 8, verse 15, the Bible says, but it says, that on good ground are they, the Bible says, which in an honest and a good heart, having heard the word of God, keep it and bring forth, it says, fruit with patience. Now wait a minute, so the fruit being brought forth that was sown on the good ground of this person's life was brought forth, how? With patience. So be patient with yourself as God works in you. Luke chapter 21 and verse 17, the Bible says, and ye shall be hated, it says, of all men for my name's sake. And there shall, listen to it, verse 18, and there shall not an hair on your head, it says, perish. It says in verse 19, in your patience possess, it says, your souls. So be patient as God is working on you. Sometimes people is going to persecute you. It was Joseph Jollet that said in 1754, he says, never cut what you can simply untie. Never cut what you can simply untie. Francis of Sales in 1567 said this, be patient with everyone, but above all, be patient with yourself. So be that person that's patient with yourself. How do you do that? Here's how you do that. You decide that you're going to let God work in your life. Somebody came to a man, said, listen, will you pray for me? I need patience. The man started to bow his head for prayer. He said, dear God, this brother's praying for patience. I pray that you would send an abundance of tribulation in his life. God just unveil all the tribulational things, just put it on him. Put him through the fire. Make him learn. The guy stopped them and said, stop praying. I asked you to pray for patience, not tribulation. Opened his Bible and said, look at Romans chapter 5 and in verse 3. The Bible says, and not only so, it says, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. So why is it you're going through the fire right now? Might it be that God has given you the privilege to go through the fire so you can be more patient? Hello? I was sitting in a dentist chair in Manila, Philippines. I was sitting there. The dentist had already worked on me for 2.5 hours. I'm talking about I was in excruciating pain. Never been in pain like that a day before in my entire life. I had sweat the whole back, all the way down, sweat. Hands sweating, face sweating, him up there drilling away. I was in pain. That night, I was the main speaker. He kept giving me, kept shooting. It wasn't going dead. He just kept shooting. Everything else was going dead. My nose was going dead. My lip was hanging down. My other lip was someplace else. I was touching, couldn't feel a thing. Starting to swell up here. I was starting to go dead up here. It was going dead up here. Now my whole face was going dead. I thought, oh, please don't let my brain go dead. I got to preach tonight. I got up that night like a drunk man. Hundreds of people there. Got up that night, bottom lip sagging way down here. I said, open your Bible. I looked like I was mad at the crowd. I couldn't smile. Bottom lip sagging down. It was puffed out about 4 football fields long. I said, open your Bible. I looked like I was mad at the world. I preached the best I could that night. Hey, I'm telling you. Learn to be patient with yourself. Learn to be patient. Learn to take things and have fun with things. Hey, when you goof up, laugh. Amen. Laugh. Laugh. It's not all that bad. Preaching with a dear preacher. He's preached in this pulpit. Man, I got up and... I preached. Don't laugh. I'm not there yet. But my zipper was, I was embarrassed. Face turned red. I mean, I'm talking about face is red. Preached the whole message that way. Face is red. He came up to me, put his hand on me. He said, brother, let me help you. So why didn't you help me before? Now, wait a minute. You know what I've done? I've learned to be patient. When I was in Bible college, I did everything fast. Drove fast, studied fast. Everything was fast. One thing I learned to do in Bible college was eat fast. One of the worst things I do in my life, some of you are health nutritionist type of people. Man, I love you. God bless you. Keep up your good work. The world needs you. One thing I do, I'll sit down. If there's food there, I consume it. I don't know why. I can sit there. I try to be patient and eat. Everybody else, I don't know why they're so slow. Well, I sit down. You do this? Man, I sit down and push it away. Everybody else is on their second bite. I just finished my 50th. Hey, can I tell you? Learn to be patient with yourself. It was George Jackson of 1785 that said this, patience has its limits. Take it too far and it turns into cowardness. So be careful that you don't over-exercise patience. Let me give you just one more thing. I'm done. I'm going to read one more verse. Here it is. I'm done. James chapter 5 and verse 8. The Bible says, be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. I look at our present state of our union, and I think, man, I never thought I would see a time in America when America would become so wicked. Never thought I'd see it. Never thought I'd see the same-sex marriage. Never thought I'd see it. Never thought it. Never thought it. You know, the Bible teaches one man, one woman. By the way, why don't you say amen to that? One man, one woman. That's what it teaches. Never thought I'd see what we see today. I just never thought I'd see it. Never thought I would see that we would legalize marijuana, a drug. Never thought I'd see it. I just never thought I would see it. But I remember my granddaddy telling me, never thought I would see when our town would not be dry. Yeah. My granddaddy, I remember him telling me that. He said, man, he said, the town is now legalizing liquor. This is back when I was probably 9 or so, 8, I don't know what I was. But I remember my grand, before he died of that heart attack, telling me, never thought I'd see the day when our town would legalize liquor. Here's what I've seen in America. Because people are not in church, because they're not trained right, because they don't listen to the Bible, because they don't practice truth, the world is getting worse and worse and worse and worse. We have other nations now that are more godly than America. Go figure. Now, wait a minute. So what do you do with that? Here's what you do. You be patient with people. You try and love them. You tell them the truth. You try and help them. You push them when they fall. You pick them up. You push them again when they fall. You pick them up. You push them again. Hey, I never thought I'd see the day when Christians were not faithful to church. I just never thought I'd see it. Christians use excuses like, well, I got to work. Well, I'm too tired. Well, I've got a child. Well, I don't feel good. Well, yeah, I told my wife, I said, I've never seen so much lack of character and love for Jesus than I've ever seen in my lifetime than today. Used to be you'd never have to try and get people to come to all the services. They would automatic. Used to be that people would stand up, man, when they would sing, woo! They'd sing. All right, now wait a minute, what do? Here's what you do. You be patient with people. You be patient with people. You take and somebody falls down and you bring them up and you say, come on, you can do it. Come on, you can do it. You can do it. Come on, you can do it. And by the way, it takes patience now to work with people. You can do it. You can do it. Hey, you can come to Sunday school. You can make it. It's almost like you got to treat them like little children. You can make it. Come on, it's okay. It's all right. It's all right. Hey, look, preaching's good. You can make it. Come on, try it. Try it. Come on. Come on. You can. You need it. You really need it. Your wife needs it. Your kids need it. Your grandchildren need it. Just keep. You be patient with people. Just be patient. All of a sudden, they don't come to church service. Hey, where were you? Missed you. Sure do love you. Missed you. Sure do love you. Love you. Missed you. Love you. Missed you. Missed you. Loved you. Okay, come. You know. All right. You be patient. Now, I'm saying, you've got to be patient with God. God, why aren't you saving them? God said, I'm trying to. Trying to get through them. Trying to help them. God, why don't you help me with so-and-so? He says, trying to. You be patient with them. You help them too. God, I got this problem and I just don't know how to solve it. You be patient with yourself. Just keep working along. Working along. And by the way, if you don't cut people off, they'll still let you help them. They will. Don't cut them off. Don't cut them off. Some of the people I've worked with over the years, they're fast learners. They are fast learners. I've seen people get saved. We got people in this church this way. They got saved. They dove in. Stay with me. Dove in. God said, never lived this way before. Ever. Got saved, dove in. Sunday morning, Sunday night, dove in. Hey, dove in. I got people who's been saved for years. It's a little bit slower. You just work with them, you love them, help them, encourage them. Hello. I'm saying be patient with God, with others, and with yourself. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for the privilege being able to come to church. Bless, I pray, please. Help us to learn to be patient. Be patient with you. Be patient with others. Be patient with ourselves.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.